Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the Time of Truth.
Good to be here today. That's a great song, by the way. Let me be guilty of too much mercy. I'm glad God gave me mercy and I didn't get justice. Jew, I'm very hot up here, Jeff. I don't know if it's that hot out there or not, but I am smoking up here. It's good to be here today. Praise God, what a day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. And you're not here by coincidence. This Sunday school lesson was all over what I'm going to preach today. I believe God set it up that way, so those that miss Sunday school is going to get it again, and then they're going to get it for the first time, and those that were in here is going to get it again. But I'm satisfied that this is where the Lord had had me preach this morning. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. I've used this chapter, this verse. I've preached this a lot of times. I've got a series that I preach on the stones, and this is my text that I take for it. But I'm going to preach today on this thought, the church. There seems to be some confusion. And it was the difference. It's the opinion of man and their interpretation of the Word of God that brought division instead of unity in the body of Christ. Now, you know me. By now, you know me. Some of you have not been coming that long. You're getting to know me, and you're still here. Praise God for that. But now, though I'm ordained through the Free Will Baptist, I love Free Will Baptist, love what does their David. If you miss Wednesday night's message, you need to get it. Get a CD of Wednesday night's message, sit down and listen to it. As we say up here on the hill, it'll help you. But there is no denominations in heaven. Do you understand that? Amen. And any denomination that says we're the only one going, I doubt many of them are. Because they have misunderstood the Scripture. Listen, when it becomes you and you only, you are a cult. Amen. And not part of the body. We're going to get into a few things this morning. You stay with me. I think the singing was short, perfect song, everything's right. Matthew 16, verse 13, if you found it, shout amen. Amen. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, others Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? That's the difference in your eternity right there. But that's not where I'm preaching this morning. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You nailed it, Peter. Amen. You got it right. That's exactly who He is. Now, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now here's my text verse. I need to read it all to get it in the context of this. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter. That word there means little rock. And upon this rock, the word rock there means massa in the Greek. It's a big rock. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Father, I love you and I thank you for the day. I thank you for the mercy that you've shown me. I thank you that I found grace, glory to God, to help in a time of need. I'm thankful for the old holy word. I pray you'd fill my mouth today and guard my tongue. Preach me inside the bounds of this holy writ. I pray, God, you'd open the ears and the hearts of those within the confines of our building today and those on the internet, Lord, and they would hear this word of God. It would settle down in their soul. God, it'd be changed, life-changing, and you'd be glorified in everything that's done. If there's a lost one here today, I pray you put them in the body. I pray, God, that they become part of the church. Lord, the one that's cold and indifferent and out of fellowship with You, they know who they are. God, it's a miserable place to live out of fellowship with the Father. Oh, God, draw them in. Let them know You're just sitting here waiting with open arms today to bring them into the right relationship with You. Have You way. Bless what's done for Your glory. And I'll praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen, I want to preach today on this thought, the church, one church. This is the first time church is mentioned in the Word of God, and it's mentioned by the Lord Christ. He's talking about a church. Now, church there does not refer to a building. It does not refer to a denomination of men. It means this in the Greek, in the original language, what this is translated from. It means ecclesia. The called out. It means that you've been called out. He called, well, glory. He called you out. He called you out of the world and into His church. He called us out away from sin and shame and trouble and chaos. And glory to God. He wants to take you in this morning. Those that are saved in this room today, we have been called out. Therefore, by the Word of God, it makes us the church. Now those anti-free will Baptist people would say, you can't be in. I'm in. Whosoever. I have no bones to pick with you. I'm not looking for a fight. I'm not looking for a theological debate. Listen, it's not me, my four, and no more. Bless God, it's whosoever will. And when He calls, if you'll answer, He'll put you in the body. And He wants everybody in the church. Are you still with me? I probably lost some of you already. The ecclesia, the called out. That's us. I want you to notice as an introduction quickly this morning who the contractor is. The contractor is none other than Christ Himself. In other words, He's the one that's going to provide the labor. He's going to provide the material. He's going to instruct how it should be constructed. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation. He's the light. He's the life. Glory to God. He's the one that's never failed. And He's not going to falter now. And He said, I'm the contractor. Listen, I'm going to build my church. You can't build it. I can't build it. No man can try to build it. Hey, Muhammad failed. He's out there in the left field somewhere, dead and gone in hell. Listen, Buddha failed. His bunch of followers, Hinduism fails. But I tell you what won't fail. It don't look like it. Glory to God. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. You know what that is? That's the church. That's the church. It's not a Free Will Baptist church. It's not a missionary, a Southern, primitive, the Baptist, separate, however many other Baptists there is. It's not United Methodist. It's not Congregational Methodist. It's not the Pentecostals. It's not the Church of God. It's not the Church of God of Prophecy. Listen, it's none of these other denominations. It's certainly not none of the cults, but it is this. It is the church. And she ain't going down. Glory to God, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. It kills me when they refer, they don't mean it in a negative way, but it rubs me the wrong way when they say Mike McCoy's church. No, nay, negative, not my church. It's the church. Paul, this is the Lord's church. This church doesn't belong to a man, it's the Lord's church. If you are saved and born again, that's synonymous terms, by the way. If you have been born again, and I know that tears some people up, but look here, they've got a problem with Jesus. If that bothers them, they got a problem with the one who said, you must be born again. Don't get mad at me, I'm just carrying the mail. You must be. He's the contractor. Not only that, He's the one that's going to do the construction. He's going to build it. He's going to say, now this took me a while to learn this passage. I would to God that Randy Maynard's here after I'm dead and gone or moved on or whatever God does with me in the future. But I'm glad He sent him my way. Now watch this. God was constructing something that I didn't know anything about, nor Randy, nor Pam, until God began to do it. But watch this. And it hurt the church over there. It hurt them in their heart. Now the church is still going on. Why? Because it's the church. But we don't understand when God moves people for purpose. Someone left this church who I was very fond of, and forever I took it personal. It's not personal. Here's what they said. I've got to go somewhere else and work. I begin to understand. I don't know your vineyard. So somebody that is has ability, God has given them to construct the church. The church. Sometimes the contractor is doing the construction and he needs a front load driver over here at this place. You don't need him anymore. So he puts him in the front loader and sends him where he needs him and says, now load it up. Hey, why am I going to do that? Because I'm building my church. That's why. I'm going to build my church. I don't need you there anymore, but I need you over here. What is that? That's part of the construction. Number three, look at this. You know what what he ends up with? He ends up with a congregation. Eventually, it's going to be the completion of the church. When will the church be finished? When it's called out again. Now, ecclesia means this. It means to be called out. We were called out of the world. Even though we're in the world, we're not of the world. We were called out, but we will be called out again. In a minute, the rest of the story. Now, with this being said, and you're wondering about where I'm going with this, I want to preach on the church. First, I want to preach on the birth, concerning the birth of the church. Do you know the church was born? The church was born. You must be born again. Listen, now, this is for you Bible students. The rest of you are going to stare at me like a calf at a new gate. But just hold on. I'll be back to the other stuff in a moment. Leviticus chapter 23. I know that's everybody's favorite book. A little sarcasm there. It's bad when you have to say it. It's just blew it. Leviticus chapter 23. Here's what you're going to find out. You're going to find, say, well, when did the birth of the church take place? It took place at Pentecost. The birth of the church wasn't when Jesus came and was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. No, He's going to fulfill the law. Hey, listen, that's the beginning of the fulfilling of the law. It wasn't when He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. It wasn't when He was 12 years old. That some people say, well, that's when you can be saved. No, you can be saved the moment you come to the knowledge of good and evil and the Holy Ghost pricks your heart, you can be saved. Listen, it wasn't when He was 12 years old in the temple. It wasn't when the Spirit descended on Him in baptism. It wasn't none of these times that the church was birthed. It wasn't when He done the miracles or when He raised Lazarus. It wasn't even at His own resurrection. But now we go from His resurrection. I'm talking about the birth of the church. You go back to Leviticus chapter 23. Here's what you're going to find. You're going to find He's talking to the priest. And He said, here's your first fruit. You take a single sheaf and you wave that thing. Now nobody knows what that means. Back in them days, I'm satisfied that when they're pinning this down, they just done it because God said do it. They had no idea what was out in front of them. There's a single sheaf wave. Now there's a meat offering earlier in Leviticus that goes along with the single sheaf, and it is this. It is without leaven. There's no leaven in the bread which comes with the offering of the first fruits. A single sheaf. Now, when you get to Leviticus 23, here's what He said. He said, after you wave that sheaf, you're going to offer a new meat offering. I've never seen that. A new meat offering. Yeah. And this time, here's what the meat offering is going to be. It's going to be two loaves with leaven. I'm thinking, oh man, I go to bed on this one, Dennis. I'm thinking, two loaves. And it's 50 days after the moving or the waving of the single sheaf. Are you with me, brother? And so, after the moving of the single sheaf, that's the resurrection of Jesus. He is the first fruits of them that slept, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. So we know He's the first fruits of them that slept, but there's two loaves and there's leaven in them. You know why? Because that typifies the church. And you know what the church has in it? Leaven. Do you know that I'll never get rid of that until I get rid of this body? And one day, He's going to take me out of this body. Hey, no more leaven. Why two loaves? You would think if it was a single sheaf and He would have offered a single loaf and it would have had the leaven in it and that would have typified the church. It was 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. That sheaf representing Jesus, He is waved, He is moving, He is alive again. I am He that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. That's Him. Praise God. There He is. And wait, two loaves. Why? Because Old Testament saints. I slept with this and woke up with the answer. Roger Buck, he said, I concur this morning. Because there's two covenants. There's Old Testament saints that died. You know what they had in them? Leaven. You know why? They were flesh. But you know how they died? In faith. They died in faith. Therefore, they have faith. Why? Because they're waving the sheaf. They're offering the first fruits. You know what it is? We have the Old Testament saints that died, and we have the New Testament saints that died, pictured by the two loaves. There we have the two loaves, and you know what they're doing? It's a brand new offering. And you know when it happened? 50 days after that sheaf raised up. Do you know what happened after Jesus died? 50 days after He died, do you know what happened? Praise God, now here we go, the birth of the church. Here we go, the birth of the church. Listen, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 2, here's what it was. There was a noise. We say it was the wind blowing. It really wasn't the wind. It was the sound of a mighty rushing wind. So on the day of Pentecost, it began with a sound. You know why? Because dead things don't make no noise. Amen. Yes, dead things can't make no noise. Praise God, life was coming in. It's not dead. Hey, it's life coming. What is it? It's sustaining life. It's preserving life. It's keeping life. The power. What is it? What was it? Brother Danny, it was a sound that came into this room. Before the sound came, Randall, they were on one mind and one accord. No denominational differences. No opinion of man, and they didn't have the Word of God. It's being written at this time. So they didn't have what we have. Are you still with me? Anybody gone yet? We have a sound. You know what? And now there's devout men from every nation. There's Jews from every nation. Every place, there's someone representing every place in that place. On the day of the birth of the church. It began with a sound. Number two, then we have this in Acts 2, 14 through 36. We have the sermon. You know what Peter does? He stands up and lifts up his voice. I know I'm not everyone's cup of tea, but I'm pouring out of the right pot. And I listen. I know that my style and hat of preaching doesn't feed everyone. I have been criticized, ridiculed. You don't have to be loud. I don't like the way you do it. Go somewhere else. Just go. Just go. Just go. Don't use it for an excuse. I don't like the way he preaches, so I'm not going. Listen, friends, that's what children do. I'll take my ball and go home. Go somewhere. Go. And go where they're preaching the blessed Word of God. Go where it's not fairy tales and seminars and just programs. Go where you're hearing, thus saith the Lord. That's right. I'll just tell you this. You may find some things where thus saith the Lord don't really tickle your fancy. You come with the sermon. The sermon began. Peter begins the sermon with prophecy. He said, here's what this is. This is the Spirit being poured out on you, like Joel said. Then he begins with the proof. And it was proven by the miracles of Jesus, that Jesus did. Hey, and then he said, and this is the power. And how was the power? Because here's what the men said. Let me turn to it. Let me just flip over here and let you see what the men said. I don't want to miss one part of this. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You know what that is? That's the draw that Jesus spoke of in John 6:44. Because it takes a... God can't save them unless they have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Pride has set many people in the pew and said, there's nothing wrong with me. And the Word of God says there's none righteous, no, not one. That's everybody in the building, everyone listening by video, everyone that'll hear a CD, every man, woman, boy, or girl born upon the face of this earth. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the Holy Ghost pricked them in their heart. And the moment that they were pricked in their heart, they realized that they needed something done for them. I'm just going to tell you, David Crow, God used him this past week. And it done something for me. When I booked him at the state meeting back at the beginning of the year. It was last year, wasn't it? November. I booked him. I said, David, I need you to come. God's put you. David was in the crowd. I looked over. I'm talking about the power. Stay with me. I looked over. There stood David. I'd never had David for a revival. He'd preached for a camp meeting. He'd never been here for a revival. And the Lord said, that's your guy. And when I went to him and I said, David, I need you to come this fall for a revival. He said, Mike, all I've got is this one week here in August. I said, come. And the devil said, yeah, but you're doing tent meeting the week after that. Nobody will come to it. All I know is this. The Lord said, get David. And I said, when he could come. And then when he started preaching, Lord of God, he got on that rear road guard, and I thought, Lord, just tie my corn. I realized just how much was wrong with me. Did you find anything wrong with you? Or was it just the preacher? You know what that is? That's the Holy Ghost pricking our heart. It don't matter if you've been saved 45 years. I'll just tell you, every now and then you need to come to the washing of the water by the Word to get some things, some spots and wrinkles washed off. Amen. And I know some sanctified past that, or they think they are, but that's the power. The birth of the church. We see the sound, the sermon, and souls, Acts 2:37-47. I'll save you for time's sake this. He added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now we're down to the brass tacks. It takes Holy Ghost power for people to be born again. Hallie Waldo talked to me yesterday after we set the tent up. Hallie said this. He took some little church going to pastor. Now, he said that there's 20 people in it. Thing about dead. They're ready to shut the door. He said, you know what? He said, and I can't come till I fulfill my obligations at other meetings. He said, but the Sundays I preach there, we've had somebody saved every time. You know who's coming? The drug addicts. You know why, Brother Jimmy? Because they know they got something wrong. You know what the polished of today's society says? Nothing wrong with me. And God resisteth the proud, and He giveth grace to the humble. And you can't be saved without His grace. And it's souls. David preached to the church every night here. I thought, tune us up, Lord. Tune me up. Tune me up. There's probably, in a congregation this size, some lost people in this building this morning. And I'm going to give an invitation in a minute. And if you wanted to cut this sermon
sermon's short right now. You could come and be saved. We'll shout it out and go to the house, and you won't have to hear the rest of it. I'd rather pray with you than preach to you any day. What was it, Brother Wade? It was souls. How did this... You know what we have? He added to who daily? Such as the church. You know what we witnessed right there? The birth. Number two, we see the body. Now listen, you in the body or you're not in the body. Amen. The only one that was ever in the body or out of the body, he couldn't tell, was Paul when he was stoned at Lystra and God took him to the third heaven. He said, and I saw things that wasn't lawful to utter, and whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Why is that? Because he was in another body. Are you in the body? Let me use a poor analogy right here. Had I never been born, I couldn't be in this body. My youngest child in this building understood that. Except I am birthed, I can't be in this body. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So therefore, we have the two births, the natural birth and the spiritual birth. Watch this. What this does, this is one of Brother Junior's favorite scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12. For we are baptized by one body, or one spirit, into one body. We are put in the body. We spoke of the body this morning, comparing it to a husband and wife, and these two were one. So therefore, we are born. The church was birthed at Pentecost. You know what we see there? Look, we see when the church was birthed, at Pentecost, we see the beginning of the dispensation of grace. Some disagree with that. But then we have the body of the church. The body is that's who we make up. It's not a building. It's not a denomination. I've already been through all these things, but need to refresh it. It's none of these things. Listen, the church is the body. Now, I'm going to read you something here, and you stay with me momentarily. I normally quote these verses, but I don't want to leave anything out right here. I was afraid I might. And he hath put all things under his feet, that being Christ, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. What does a body have if it's alive? A head, thank you. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So therefore, he is the head of this body. He has taken us when we are... Watch this. When you're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, conviction comes. That's how you know you need it. No conviction? You don't need it. Hey, listen, and there's many sitting in the churches today that's turned over to a reprobate mind. They'll never be convicted. Therefore, they'll never be saved. They've rejected him one too many times. Say, I can't do that. Oh, yeah, you can. My spirit shall not always strive with man. There's the scripture for it. So we're baptized by one spirit into the body. That is the Spirit of God putting us in the body of Christ. He said, now, and they drink it. Now, when he puts the Spirit takes us and puts us in the body of Christ, and what do you do when you drink something? Take it in. A plus, Randy. When you drink something, you take it in. So therefore, we have the baptism, us in the body, and the drinking of it coming within us. And if you have not the Spirit of Christ, ye are... Just glad you know what it says. So there we have the body of Christ. The forming of the body. You know what that does? That changes our position. We were outside the body of Christ. We were walking, living, moving. We were dead in our trespass and sin, but we were alive in the world. Now He's put us in the body. My position has changed. As many as believe Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Position changed. But then, listen to this. 1 Corinthians, I'm going somewhere right here. Stay with me. I want you to listen to this. 12, I'm going to read you 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Hold on here. Now you're confusing me, preacher. You said we've been saved, we've been placed in this body. Now you read me a scripture out of Corinthians that said, but we're not one, we're many members of the body. One body, many members. I've got a left hand, I've got a right hand, I've got a right foot, a left foot, I've got a nose, ears, eyes, a tongue. That gets me in trouble. Are you still with me? We're talking about the birth of the church, the body of the church. Are you in the church? 25 says that there should be no schism. That means division in the body. But that members should have the same care one for another. Ooh. There's the proof of being in the body. Now you may not do everything like you should do it. I will not do everything like I should do it. But here's exactly what happens. It makes me feel bad if I don't. And God will let me feel bad enough till I get it fixed. If you're a Christian and you've never apologized to someone in their face and said, I'm sorry that I hurt you, you've got a hard lesson coming. Some will die and never say that, Danny. That's why many children aren't trained up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord that we learned about, the discipline, because the parents never said to the child, I'm sorry I done that. You want respect to go through the roof and to the moon, Alice, and keep on going? Look your child in the face when you've done something. And not, I'm not saying it was on purpose, but you done it. And look them in the eye and say, I'm sorry I done that. You'll earn a respect that the devil can't run off. They'll have it for you from now on. Where'd you get that idea? Let me see. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe I got that example in the Bible. I love my daddy. I love that dad, Pappy. We call him Pappy. I never remembered Pappy telling me he's sorry for anything. I remember my mama telling me. You know what that is? You know who does that? The body. You know what the world says? I'm not sorry for nothing. You got what you deserve. I'll give it to you again. You know what the Spirit of God says? Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God. The body of the church. Listen, the birth of the church, the body, the position. That is our part within the church. Here's what he said in verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. That's your part. Do you know what part of the body you are? Most want to be the mouth. How do you know that? Because they can't keep it shut. And if somebody's made them mad, I'm going to tell somebody. Instead of just going on, tell Jesus on us. And just keep on going. And pray for them that despitefully use you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Bless them. If they curse you, bless them.
Yes.
Where'd you get that idea? A man named Jesus said that to me. What's your part in particular? Is Kelvin here today? Where's Kelvin? I saw him somewhere. He's at the door. I'm about to embarrass him. Good thing. Oh, he's in the chair. I'm going to embarrass you. I took the church to pastor. Kelvin come up to me. He said, preacher. He said, Brother Mike. He said, look. He said, don't ask me to get up and pray in public. And do no speaking. Don't ask me to get up and stand up in front of people and talk. He said, I'm just not very good at that. But here's what he done. Them big old bare hands. Here's he held them up and he said, but you see them hands? He said, the Lord gave me these hands. And I can use them. And I will use them. When you need something, and I don't know how many times I've slid in the key and said, hey, Kelvin.
I need something. But if you need something, you just call me and I'll put these old hands to work. Glory to God. You know what that is, David? He knows his part. Now your part may be to come and be in the pew and pay your tithes every week and be an example to those you work with and are around. You may not shout and be loud like me. You may not be a musician or a singer. And by the way, there's too much emphasis put on that stuff. Listen, you may be the one that goes in the prayer room at night and nobody sees you. I'm about to preach right here. And you call upon the name of the Lord and heaven comes down and God hears your prayer. Woo! What a part that is! Body of the church. What do we have? We have the position that we are in that body. We have the part. But the purpose is this. Jesus said in Luke 19 and 13, He said, occupy till I come. In that parable, that means fulfill your occupation that I've given you. That is the purpose for you being in this body. You have a purpose. One more point, I'm done. The birth of the church. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the body of the church. If you're saved today, you're in the body. What's your part? Are you doing your part? Someone visited this church and they were an outstanding musician. Outstanding. They came in, they seen the stage full of people, and you know what they done? They didn't stay. You know why? The parts was fulfilled. They were filled. I had someone doing that part. You know where they went? Where they didn't have somebody. My Uncle Lyle Ledbetter made Delmer so mad one time he couldn't understand it. Lyle had a habit of doing that. So Lyle comes up to Delmer, and there's three or four of us guys starting to preach. There's a bunch of us young. We hadn't been preaching very long. Lyle come in, he's all fired up, and he never pastored over 50 people in his life. And he said, praise the Lord, Brother Delmer. He said, that's it. Train them up and send them out to work somewhere else. Delmer said, well, now. Well, I'll keep them around here. Train them up. I'm going to keep them around here. He said, oh, no, you got to send them out. Fulfilling the part. The purpose. Number three, and I'm done. I want us to consider this today. Because we are ridiculed. They ridicule the church. I watch these crazy things on TV and they say, this guy's done, he's killed 15 people or raped 3 women. And they say, and this preacher, I said, he's no preacher. Amen. I want us to consider the benefit of the church. The benefit of the church. We studied it just a little bit in Sunday school this morning. Listen, Dad, I'm going to talk to the daddies just a minute. I can do this because in the first 8 years of my son's life, I failed him as a father bringing him to the house of God. All I done was bring him on dinner days or homecoming. Or if Delmer had a real good singing group, I'd come up because I love music so much. And I'd listen to them sing. But I was not training up my child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. His mama was. We're missing it, daddies, if that's what we're doing. God said, you're the head. We're missing it, if that's what we're doing. Now, we reap what we sow. When we spend our life, one fellow was saved late in life. He's 60 years old. His children all grown. His grandchildren are coming up. Now, none of them's ever been in church. This guy got gloriously saved, and he's begging God to save his family. You know what? There's a good chance they won't be saved. Because they missed the training them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They missed the example of that daddy leading in the way that they should have gone. Who said, there's no benefit to being in this church. Number one, the benefit is this. We have the people of the church. John, 1 John 3 and 14 says this. You know you passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. I want you to know I love you this morning.
I don't have aught against anyone in this room. If I do, you come tell me. I will apologize to your face and we'll fix it right now. And I'd suggest that for everyone under the sound of my voice right now. Now, we may not always get along. My brothers and sisters, we fought like cats and dogs. Teresa could fight just like a man. I'm telling you, any girl, some girl made the mistake of jumping on her in school one time. She jumped back and gave her three right in the mouth. Pow, pow, pow. Wonder where she learned that. I just defended myself. She nearly killed me. But don't let somebody else jump on one of them. Hey, listen, we may fuss and carry on, Randy. We may have get our feathers ruffed up. Don't let nobody else get on the church. I'm talking about the church. I'm not just talking about the Free Will Baptist Church. I'm talking about don't get on one of the preaching brothers. Because here's what I begin to say to them. You ever pastored? You ever pastored? And 95% of the time, they say no because the other pastors generally don't do this because they've been in the same trough you've been in. You ever tried to please 35 people at the same time, let alone 300? And they'll go, well, no. Then you don't know what you're talking about. And I would suggest until you learn and you have done that, that you just don't say nothing and you pray for them. Somebody said, I'd go to that church over there, but oh, so-and-so goes over there. Now, hey, we dated years ago. I said, you better get past that. I mean, if you're saved and on the way to heaven, eternity's a lot longer than this life. If you can't go to church with them, you've got a problem. The people, beneficial in the church. We went to a funeral one time. There's about six people in that funeral. No church family. Number two, the benefit of the church. I'm back in Ephesians again. I'm going to read this to you. Back in Ephesians chapter 3 is where I'm going to turn to in verses 20 and 21. Listen to this. Now unto Him, which is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the what? The power that worketh in us. Is there any benefit being in this thing? Next time that loved one's on death's door or something's happened and you find yourself in this place you never thought you'd be in and you need something, I pray when we put something... Listen, don't... Time sidebar for one moment. Let me pastor right here for this second. Don't call us with a prayer chain for Uncle Bob's aunt's cat that lives in Tupelo, Mississippi. So I'm just going to tell you, there ain't going to be much fervent prayer for that cat in Tupelo, Mississippi. But you let Junior Swafford get sick.
Amen.
And you call... Or some of our new people, Kevin, Susan. You let some of them get sick. And you call. And I put them on that chain. You know what I'm going to do? Before I take another breath, take another step, I'm going to put, after that phone call comes through and I hear that it's come through and I mass delete and we get over it, Randy, I'm going to bow my head. If I'm driving, when I stop, I'm going to bow my head. And I'm going to say, Father, now I need you and I don't need you tomorrow. I need you now. Why would you do that? Praise God. That's the benefit of the church. What is that? That's the power. Listen, it's the people and it's the power that lies within this body. I have people call me from Ohio and all these places all the time. And I've met a lot of people along the way. Brother Junior mentioned Harold and Olive this morning. They've been to our camp meeting every year. Harold's about to die if God don't touch him. And he wants to die. He wants to leave here. He's in such poor health. And we pray in power. The benefit of the church. You know what the lost man has? That one outside the church that doesn't have the church? They don't have that. You're on your own, friend. Out there on an island and everything coming against you and nobody to help you. The benefit of the church, the people, the power. John 11:25. I'm done with this right here. And this is the promise. Verena, come to fear. This is the promise. I thought of Sheila Keith. I read this last night. Kenneth went on to heaven. He's ready to go. Jesus met Martha in the way, and her brother was dead. I'm the oldest in our family. By the natural order of things, I should go first. But you know what I found? Death is out of order. I've found where it doesn't come in order. My mother's oldest brother is still alive. Him and the youngest brother. The rest of them's all dead. All the young ones, my mama was in the middle. All of them gone. But there's a promise to the church. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. He said, Martha, thy brother shall live again. She said, yea, Lord, I know that he'll live again in the resurrection. He said, Martha, I am the resurrection. He that believeth in me, though were he dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You believe that? Now the Bible said, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you know what that does? When the Spirit pricks your heart like He did on the day of Pentecost and the church was born, and He puts all these in the body of the church, added to the church daily such as should be saved, you know what comes along with that? The benefit, the power, and the promise of God. I don't know if they can do this, Latham. You're the professional. You and Linda. But I hope they can stitch my mouth like this when I'm gone. If Grimsley does it, I'm just going to have him put me a stitch over here and a stitch over here. And they walk by the coffin and they say this, he sure looks happy. Well, how could he do that? That's a benefit of the church. He's not coming back for the lost or the unsaved. Friend, he's coming back for the church. I'm glad to be part of it this morning. If you're not, you should be. Bow your heads for in a play for me, would you, sis? Give me the podium mic, Brother Jeff. I want to ask you right now. You part of this church? I'm going to talk about the Free Will Baptist Church. If you come here, we'll treat you like family. Are you part of the church? Do you know the Lord today? I know other people could have preached it better. But listen, don't hold it against the Lord for the incompetency of this preacher. You take that word. You take that word and you think this morning, am I in that body? Am I in that body? Am I part of the church? And you can answer it right now. In your own heart, you can answer it. You don't have to know John 3:16 to be saved. All you've got to know is you're the sinner. He's the Savior. Are you in the church today? Just like the church was birthed, you must be born again. And all you got to do, if you understand right now that there's sin in your life, and you've been a sinner, and you are a sinner, and He's the Savior, and you'd like for that to change, friend, that only the Holy Ghost can reveal that to you and make it real. If you'd like to be saved this morning, it's a short step. Say, why have I got to come forward? David used it the other night. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall not be ashamed.
That's step one. That's coming. Don't deny me before men. He said, I'll deny you before my Father. That's step one. That's coming. That's saying, I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming. I need to be saved. While she tarries, while we tarry just a moment, she continues to play. Do you need to come? Would you be the one to come this morning and say, you know what? I'm going to be part of this church. Dennis Bilbrey. Dennis Bilbrey. Come right there. Glory to my God. Randy Weaver, you're come up. Well, I say glory to God. You'll be part of this body. You'll be part of the church. Is that you this morning? Someone else need to come and say, Lord, have mercy on me, an old sinner. That's all you got to know. Glory to God. You faked it for a lot of years. You know it's not real in your heart. You comb your hair, come to church, cleaned up, look good, sat in the pew, polished and smiling. But you know down in your heart, it's not fixed with God. You can't be born and not know it. Do you know it this morning, teenager? You may have come to this church off and on all your life. You've never been saved. You know it this morning. You need to come right now. You may be here and just be out of fellowship with God. You need to come this morning and say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Folks are coming. You need to come. You need to come. You need to come. Glory to God. I say, bless the Lord. When I see the blood, you need to come. Would you come? Would someone else come this morning? Would you come? Would you stand with me this morning? Page 378, would you stand with me while these pray? While someone comes in the family? Christ our Redeemer. While someone comes in the family, Christ our Redeemer. While someone comes in the family, Christ our Redeemer. While someone comes in the family.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.